Welcome to English Reading by Hidemi Woods. I'll read episodes from my books and talk about them. I hope you enjoy the show with me. Hi, I'm Hidemi Woods. I'll read an episode from a book I wrote titled An Old Tree in Kyoto. This time I'm gonna read an episode called End. It's about what happened during my grandfather's last days in the hospital. End. It seems that people look back and judge themselves when they are nearing their ends. Not long before his death, my grandfather suddenly told my parents that he wanted to go to the department store where he once worked vigorously, but had to leave to succeed the family. My parents thought his consciousness grew dim because they assumed that he meant shopping, which he was too frail to do. I know what he really meant. He realized that he should not have given up what he wanted to do for his life. On his deathbed, he pointed at my mother and said, "You're next." I wonder if she would end up like him. Surely she looks a strong candidate for that matter. My grandfather used to take me to the department store when I was a child. I lived with my grandparents, and my grandfather really liked to go out. He went out when he didn't have to do so. He just went out. That was his purpose, going out, simply. Sometimes he took me with him to the department store. That was his most favorite destination. When I was little, I thought he really liked the department store itself. He didn't shop anything, he was just browsing all the floor. I thought that was his hobby, strolling around the department store. But why he liked the department store so much was another reason why he liked it so much. He used to work at one of the department stores in Kyoto when he was young. He really liked to work there. The department store he used to work was called Daimaru, which all the Japanese people know the name, the famous department store chain. And he worked there, a Kyoto branch, Daimaru, and he worked there as a young man, and he was a candidate for an executive because he worked so hard and diligently. He was the first person to show up there in the morning, even before the security guard arrived there. He was there and sweep, and he waited the security guard. He waited for the security guard to open the department store, and he, as soon as he got in, he began to sweep the floor, dust off the merchandise, straighten up the shelves. He was just a diligent worker there. So all the executives there expected him to be a future executive. But my grandfather's father suddenly passed away, and he had to leave the job he loved so much in order to support his mother and his sister. And he quit working in the department store and took up the job his father was doing. That was farming. My grandfather became a farmer by quitting being a store clerk. So one day when I visited my grandparents after I left home, out of nowhere, I just asked him why he quit the job he loved so much when his father died. I thought he did not necessarily have to quit. I thought he probably could support his mother and his sister by working there, by continuing to be a sales clerk with his salary. So I asked him. Asked him, why did you quit? It's so you are so expected as as an elite candidate, but he threw away. Why did you do that? I asked him. And he answered repeatedly, because my father died. Because my father died was his only answer. And I said, just because your father died, you didn't have to be a farmer, which you didn't exactly want to. Why did you do that? I still asked him, because I didn't understand his decision. And he told me that I had no other choice but being a farmer. I really didn't like to leave the job at the department store, but I just had to. And I said to him, what if it was possible to support your family with your salary from the department store? Wouldn't it be possible? It could have been possible, could it? Don't you think? And he was thinking for a while on what I said. And he said, yeah, you're right. It could have been possible. I could have supported them with my salary. But I don't know. But it could have been, he said. So when I heard what he said on his bed in the hospital to my parents, my parents told me that he was so confused because he asked them to take him to the department store. My parents thought he meant shopping. He wanted to shop at the department store, although he was locked in the hospital. He was quite close to his own death. So my parents didn't understand what he was talking about. But the moment I heard that from my parents, I knew what my grandfather meant. I thought what I said to him on that particular day might have remained deep in his mind. And that thought popped up in his head when he was close to death. He since I said that to him, he might have always carried that thought in his mind. The thought that it could have been possible to continue working at the department store. So when he was close to his own death, he asked my parents to take him to the department store. As for my mother, to whom my grandfather said, "You're next," she would say a lot of things on her deathbed. I guarantee she would, millions of things. She would have millions of things to ask somebody for her to do, because she was a full basket of regrets. She pretty much gave up everything that she wanted to do for her life, because she married for money. She threw away everything. She sacrificed her life for money. Because my family used to have family fortune, and that was the only reason my mother got married with my father. So my grandfather knew that, and that's why he said to her, "You're next. You're next who would need to pay for the regrets when death was closing in." And as for me, I have no regrets so far, because I chose to do what I want to do for my life. So I left home for that, in order not to have regrets like my grandfather or my mother. I didn't want to follow the footsteps of my mother, especially. So I don't think, or rather, I hope I wouldn't utter anything strange on my deathbed. I don't want to utter something like, "I wanted my baby," or "I wanted my family," or "I wanted a big mansion," or take me to Monaco. Probably I might say that part. But maybe the most possible thing I would utter on my deathbed would be, "Where's my money?" Yeah. I might say such a thing. Thanks for listening. I hope you come back and join me again. I'm Hitomi Woods. Until next time, take care and be well. Thanks.
Audiobook, The Family in Kyoto, One Japanese Girl Got Freedom by Hitomi Woods on sale at online stores or apps. Apple Books, Google Play, Audible, 43 available distributors in total.